You know, Jackie did a pretty awesome flyer for us. It said, celebrating 4 years of lighting a fire in Chicago. Now, if you're from Chicago, you know, fires may not be the most fired up thing to talk about. But we're trying to light a spiritual fire, so amen. Today, we continue in our series in James on spiritual maturity. Isn't that where we all want to get disciples out there? Now, today we're going to talk about one of the most flammable subjects in religion. And if you've got an NIV, you don't even need me to give you the title. The header is kind of put in there. Faith and deeds. If you're like, what's flammable about that? Oh, you don't know? Well, he hasn't been around church much. This is a flammable topic. It will set a fire. So let's light it up. Amen. Let's just go ahead and read James 2, verse 14. What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith, but has no deeds? Can such faith save him? That's a rhetorical question. And I'll ask you, can such faith save you or me? Now, the answer very clearly is no. Thank you for your rhetoric. Amen. Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes or daily food. If one of you said to him, go, I wish you well, keep warm, well fed, but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? And the answer rhetorically is no good. In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. Flammable. Because when you preach this, there are so many people that will say, you're saying you're saved by works. No, I'm not saying you're saved by works. But you're not saved without them either. Because it's very clear, if there's no deeds, it's a sign that there's no faith. I mean, it says here, faith by itself, if it's not accompanied by action, is what? Now, what part of the word dead do you not understand? I thought, what can I bring up here and kill in front of you to show dead, you know, but I decided against that thing right there in the sermon. Okay, no. Verse 18. But someone will say, and there's always somebody in there, you have faith, I have deeds. As if there could be faith Christians and deed Christians. No, it doesn't work that way. It says, show me your faith without deeds. Can you?
No.
Okay, let me show you my faith right here. Watch. Watch close.
Wow.
Pretty awesome, huh? You can't do it! And the Lord's brother, nailing it home right here, says, and I'll show you my faith by what I do. But you know what they say? Oh, but I believe there's one God. Well, James says, you believe there's one God? Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. Flammable. Flammable. Demons believe there's one God. Intellectually, they know it to be true. Does that save you? No. And they shudder. Because they really know who God is. They shudder. So are they saved? No, they're shuddering. They're scared. They're not saved.
Right.
So if you just because you believe there's one God, you are lost. You're not saved. because of that.
Right.
Flammable. Lighting a fire in Chicago. Good, bad, or ugly. Amen. And here's the Lord's brother, James, verse 20. You foolish man. Do you want evidence? Faith without deeds is, what's that word? Useless. If you're dead, you're useless. Okay. Was not our ancestor Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that said, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. And he was called God's friend. Is that who you want to be? When God comes back, don't you want Him to look at you and go, you're my friend? It's got to be our faith into our actions. And you'll be God's friend. And it says here, you see that a person is justified by what he, what? And not by faith alone. Flammable! Why? Because people want to believe they're saved and you don't call me to do anything. But not by faith alone. Luther said something to the effect of, you're saved by faith alone, but faith is not alone. It's something like that, but it's somewhere. Martin Luther said it. Look it up. Not only faith. I say, you're not saved by works, but you're not saved without Him either. Verse 25. In the same way, was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction? That's a great study if you haven't done that one or done it lately. Look that up and study it out. It's not condoning prostitution, okay? It's saying even a prostitute, because she believed and knew these two men to be of God, ignored her own civil authorities, hid them and sent them off in safety because of what she believed. That, as it says in 26, as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is
dead.
And what part of dead do you not understand?
Right.
You know, the Lord's brother is pounding it into his audience that faith without deeds is useless. That kind of faith will not help you
right.
or anybody else.
Right.
Faith like that, it won't even get you through this life.
Right.
Much less save your soul
right.
for eternity. Now, if we're going to get through this life, because life ain't easy, nah, y'all. It's a little memory right there. Life is hard.
Right.
It's only our faith that's going to get us through. As we have been the last few weeks in the spiritual maturity classes, I consider this to be somewhat of a second principles. Okay? First principles is a class series we have here in the church about the fundamentals of faith. What you have got to know before you can even start to build with God.
Right.
And this fall, we'll be getting all our new members that weren't here last year, and we'll go through that series. And that'll teach you what you need to know to come to Christ. Now, if you're our guest, you want to do it, you can get with a member and do it now.
Awesome.
And we go through things like, what does the Bible say about what it means to seek God with all your heart? What does the Bible say about the Word itself, the Scriptures, discipleship, the kingdom? What is sin? How do I repent? What puts me in the dark and what gets me into the light with God? What about denominations? What about true religion versus false religion? And we go through these subjects with the Scriptures. But once you become a true Christian, now we need to mature. And so we've been talking about some old sermons and resurfacing them because, you know, sometimes there are things that aren't just a good Sunday morning sermon, but they're building blocks that are good for the rest of your life in just understanding fundamental faith. So I want to remind you of a sermon and of three points that we've done before, if you've been around for a long time. And I can't take credit. I heard this sermon a long time ago myself and tucked it away. Point number one. Faith. And I say true faith, living faith, not dead faith. Comes from personal conviction, not family tradition.
Amen.
So many people go to church because that's what mama did, that's what granny did, so on and so on. And they go and they sit and they listen and they leave. But we have a saying here. Assembly religion in 2010 in America, or anywhere for that matter, does not demand the kind of faith it takes to save your soul. But it all starts when the sermon ends. And we get in each other's lives. And we open the scriptures. True saving faith comes from personal conviction, not family tradition. But you know, you invite people to church and they go, "Oh, I'm Catholic. Oh, I'm Baptist. Oh, I'm Jewish." And what that means is, no, I'm good. But what does that even mean to them? Back in Syracuse, we were looking for a building once to have church in, a long-term lease, and we hired an agent to help us find one. He was a young Jewish man. So we spent many hours in the car looking at long-term lease facilities. And he would talk to me, and I was getting in there, and he let me know, "Yeah, I'm Jewish, but I go to church with my friends more than I go to temple." For him, being Jewish was just social. It's just how he grew up. There was no conviction on how to live based on the teachings. Me, I've told the story, those of you that have heard it. My mom was Catholic. My dad was Baptist. They never went to church, but they made me go. And the deeper issue is, you know, my mom, when my dad came back from Vietnam, for whatever reason, they weren't able to make it. They divorced. And so the Catholic Church didn't even really accept her. But because of the deep tradition of my family, she still made me go. And I grew up Catholic, the only Catholic church in a small town of 6 stoplights and about 15 Baptist churches. And there weren't that many because they just split up to divide and conquer the neighborhood, if you know what I mean. It's just, you have a fight at First Baptist and, boop, Second Baptist. That's awesome. And, you know, for years I called myself a Babalik. I didn't know what I was, you know. I've shared with you that I went to church. I made a deal with my mom. I wanted to go to the Baptist church in junior high because that's where all the kids went my age. And we had a big knockdown drag out. And at the end of the day, mom said, "Well, you can go to the Baptist church at night if you honor me and go to the Catholic church Sunday morning. And when you're 18, old enough, you make your own choice." So I was a Babalik. Morning with the Catholic church, evening with the Baptist church, every Sunday. And pretty much lived my life however I wanted to when I wasn't there. High school geometry class for me was really religious debate with geometric homework. In Texas, in 1983. And the coach across the hall was Church of Christ member. Mainline. Coach down the hall, Baptist church member. They would come in soapbox and go back and debate, and we would debate. Half the kids were Baptist, half in the class were Church of Christ, but we all knew what each other were doing. Kid right next to me, one of the most popular kids around, died of a drug overdose a couple years out of high school. Church of Christ kid. Joke was, Church of Christ, they were real strict. They didn't believe in dancing. Dancing was a sin. Baptists, we went to school dances. We were in sin. Church of Christ, they did not believe in dancing. That's a sin. They were out in the car making out. You get it, right? Good old. Shh. Thank you. Thank you very much. Next sermon at 11. You know what I'm saying? This was the joke that religion was, and it's why people don't respect God. Because people say, "I'm of God," but we live whatever.
Right.
Look in Romans chapter 1. Saving faith, true faith, living faith comes from personal conviction, not family tradition.
Amen.
Romans 1, verse 1. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God. The gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures regarding his Son, who as to his human nature was a descendant of David, and through the Spirit of holiness was declared with power to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. Through him, and for his name's sake, we receive grace and apostleship to call people, watch this, from among the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith.
Wow. Yep.
When you say you believe in God, He's my Father, then what He says, if you believe that, you will obey that.
Amen.
The obedience that comes from faith, it's personal conviction that changes the way you live. It changes everything of who you are. And we heard those three share in the communion earlier powerfully. Number two, living faith. Saving faith, true faith, has visible signs. It's not just in your mind. Have you ever met someone that claims to be something? And they're just not. God bless them. God bless you and me. Maybe it's us. And the best analogy in our common era for this, in our pop culture, is American Idol. Those auditions. And I know some people come and they claim they can sing and they just want their 15 minutes of stupidity on national television. But others believe in the depth of their soul as their mother has told them since infancy that they sound just like Brian McKnight. And Simon says, "All right, what you gonna sing then?" And they cannot sing. But she's like, why do you believe this? Yeah, Mama told me Grandma said that sounds just like Brian McKnight. And they are dumbfounded that they're not getting that gold ticket, yellow ticket, whatever. They are misled. Why are they misled? Because Mama don't want to hurt their feelings. She just wants them to look like a fool on national television. And because we're sentimental, we mislead people. Well, there is a world full of people being misled, being dragged to the gates of hell, told they're saved. And they're not saved. And I know, because I was one of them. Going to church, I believe, and I sincerely believe that Jesus died for me. But it did not affect anything I did, because nobody called me to the obedience that comes from faith. So there were no signs. And all babies aren't cute either, so be honest. You know, I lived for years in New York City. Every waiter you have in New York City, they're not a waiter. They're an actor. They're a dancer. Well, then why aren't you acting or dancing? When's the last audition you went to? Oh, about 4 years ago. Dude, you're a waiter. You got to get honest with yourself. Or go on some auditions. Go. I'll just get my own food. Pursue your dream. want to be like Christ. John 14, 12 says, I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I've been doing. There'll be visible signs. 1 John 2, 6. Whoever claims to live in Him must walk as Jesus did. John 14, 31. I love this. We should memorize. The world must learn that I love the Father and that I do exactly what He commands. Isn't that what you want your coworkers to know? The students around you, your neighbors, you want them to know that you love the Father and you do what He says. If you love God, you work for God. So what are we doing for God? Well, that brings me to point number three. We're moving, aren't we? Ooh, we like it. Living faith, saving faith, true faith doesn't wait for the grave to say, I'm saved. So many people, they say, well, I love God. I'm going to serve Him later. Later in life, once I done sowed my wild oats, once I've done everything I really like to do in this world, then I'm going to get heaven too. That's not what Jesus says. Jesus says, if you want to save your life, you'll lose it. Now, ladies, sisters, visiting ladies, how would you like it if you had a man, and this man, he said, I love you. You are so beautiful. Gorgeous. I want to spend the rest of my life with you. But later in life, later in life, you know, like let's just, you know, sow our wild oats. Do what we do. But then as we get in that car accident, a preacher's going to leap from the bushes and pronounce us man and wife. And we'll be married. You like that, ladies? Isn't that what we say about God? Oh, when I'm dying, I want the priest to leap from the bushes. Living, saving faith does not wait for the grave to say, I'm saved. It loves God. Look at 1 John 3. First John 3:18, simple verse. It says, dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with action and in truth. Amen. See, love is like faith. Ladies, it says, I love you, but there's no action. Do they love you?
No.
No, they don't love you. They don't want to be committed to you. But let's be honest. Don't come sit in church and say you love God and do what you want.
Amen.
You're a liar and the truth is not in you.
Amen.
And I can say it because I was a liar and the truth was not in me. But you're not saved. God wants you now.
Amen.
That's why so many people won't come to church. They don't want to hear it. It makes them feel bad.
Come on, Chris.
I remember a man in the early 90s in the church I was in who fell away and went back to his life of homosexuality. Because we all go back to what we choose. And we always think our sin is better than everybody else's sin. We condemn other people's sin. He went back to that life and he was dying of AIDS. And another brother took me to his deathbed. I was a young minister in my 20s there. And he confessed his sin. He got wide open. Because he's facing death. We face death, then we want to get serious. And I remember saying to him, you know, I want you to be in heaven. I want you to be right with God. But only God knows your heart. And the real real question is this. If you were to miraculously get better today, would you be a disciple? Would you follow God? That's really what God wants to know and knows. Living faith does not wait for the grave to say,
amen,
I'm saved. Philippians 1. If there's a scripture that sums up, I guess, this argument on faith and deeds, I choose this one. It's, you know, preachers say, oh, that's my favorite verse, my favorite verse. This next one's my favorite verse. But man, of scriptures, oh, I love this scripture. In Philippians 1, we're going to start in verse 20. Paul writing says, I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death, because he was facing death for his convictions. And we say, if you got nothing worth dying for, you really got nothing worth living for. Paul says in verse 21, for to me, to live is Christ. That's it. To the one who has faith, life is Jesus. To live, it is Christ. Everything else just is either window dressing or distraction. But to live is Christ. And to die is gain? So many fear death. Not those with living faith.
Right.
You fear death, it's because you're already dead. Spiritually. Thessalonians says, we should not mourn like others who have no hope. When you're saved, you realize to live is Christ, to die is gain. Read on. If I am to go on living in the body, it will mean what? Fruitful labor for me. I believe you want to sum up the faith and deed argument? It's fruitful labor. The true Christian, for the rest of their life, they want to be involved in fruitful labor. That's what your faith makes you want to do. Or you don't have any faith. You don't believe in this Jesus. Unless you, like Paul, the only reason to stay on earth is fruitful labor. Read on. Yet what shall I choose? I don't know. I'm torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is what, church? Better by far. There's nothing on this earth, even the most amazing miracles, marriages, little babies being born, by far, being with Jesus will be better. That will pale. Don't let that pacify you from wanting to be with Jesus. Paul said there's only one reason to stay in this dreadful planet. It's more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, deep conviction. I know that I will remain and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith. Paul, if we're up to him, send me to heaven. Let me be with Jesus. I'm a follower of Jesus. I want to be with him. I don't want to follow. Where'd he go? Oh, I'm not with him. The only reason to stay here is to help others progress in their faith. To grow in their faith. It is fruitful labor. 4 years ago, some people moved to this city. And they moved because of fruitful labor. We moved here because we believed we'd be more fruitful here. We were disciples where we were, those that came on the team from Syracuse and from Oregon. Others, remnant disciples from Wisconsin and Connecticut, came to join in the Chapetta's basement here in Chicago. Because we believed in a city like Chicago, third largest city in America, 9 million souls, over 500,000 college students, that we'd be more fruitful here. All nations would hear the word. And we came to be involved in fruitful labor. And when you get called to go on a mission team, oh, I have faith. Well, let's go to Chicago, plant a church. But let me tell you, people put their money where their mouth was. Pat Bouye. Pat Senior. Where you at? There he is, back there. Pat went into his job, Blue Cross Blue Shield, where he'd worked for many, many years. 1 year shy of retirement. And he told them, I'm moving to go plant a church in Chicago. They said, Pat, you're going to lose your... Is it pension? Is the right word? Pat, $250,000. Just stay 1 more year, get it, and then go. He said, no. God's called me now. One woman cried talking to him. That's what Pat Bouye Sr. did. And you know what he does now here? He lives fat on the hog, lives easy. No, he works his butt off all night long. And then when he gets off work, then he tries to save some souls. See our ministry? You fired up for Pat? And of course, the rest of the Bouye clan. Then there's the Parlors. Joel was the first to crack. Joel was going to a junior college playing basketball. His dream, to play Division I basketball. His mom thought, well, maybe we'll go, but Joel will stay. Joel was the first one to say, I'm moving to Chicago. Gave up that dream. He could be right now with LeBron, Bosh, and Chris Wade. Dwayne Wade. Chris Bosh. The four of them. But he gave that up. They need a white guy. I was upset they're all black. Why not a white guy? Okay, never mind, never mind. He gave it up. Then Brittany gave up her senior year. Going to senior year with kids she grew up with all her life to move here and go a senior year where she was persecuted as the Bible chick. It was not a fun senior year for her. Roger and Kim quit jobs, sold homes, came. Kim was the full-time administrator for years in the church in Syracuse. Gave it up. Came out here, works a full-time job, and we give her a whopping $100 a week to do our administration on top of her other job. Fellas. They came. Their house still isn't sold in Syracuse. It's still headache. Many times. Getting it fixed up, getting it re-rented. They came. Remember the Pullens?
Yeah.
Leononi.
Yeah.
They came. They got married and then came like, I do, let's go. Boom, get in the car. And they moved to plant this church. And then Lee told Noni, if I'm ever out of town traveling and they come and ask us to go plant another church, just tell them yes. Well, now they're in D.C. on the church planting there. Then I get a phone call in Syracuse and I'm getting like every fourth or fifth word. Because it's Nick Donnelly. And it's like, church, bro. I'm like, what? What's going on? I think this guy's positive, but I'm like trying hard. But the more we talked, the more I kind of acclimated. And they, lo and behold, they came. Next Sunday we have their going away party because now they're going to go to London to help start that church. How about the Shellbracks?
Amen.
Over $100,000 in debt they incurred moving here over the past 4 years. Lost homes, duplexes, business. They're still standing. They moved because of the dream, not just for the world, but for their family. And to see Tracy, a disciple, to see Carmen and Candace growing up into these young women before our very eyes, they sacrificed a lot to come. All of them. For the dream. I think of the young people that came. You know, of course, Brittany, but Ashley. I think of Joel. I think of Anthony Franklin. From Portland, where the dream began. Greg. He's still, where's G? See, he was here a second ago. Must be in, okay, God bless him. And Pat Jr. And of course, the Chepettas. My goodness. The Chepettas' basement, they stood firm, they stood strong. And God used them as the big magnet to draw us all here. But I think of those young people, the five or six of them, and now there's over 50 campus teens and young singles baptized into Christ. I mean, all of you owe a large debt to the people I just mentioned. Why don't we give them a hand right now? But that is putting your faith into action. And we're not done planting churches. Ask yourself, am I living the life? Or am I somewhere on the periphery of things, not really involved in doing the work of the kingdom? The devil wants people to think all they have to do is believe. Just believe. But all you have to do is believe doesn't work anywhere else in life. Try that at your job. Tell your boss, the boss, all I have to do is believe in the work we're doing here. You know what your boss is going to say? I believe you better get a new job. How about in college, at school, or in high school? You know, on campus, it hops. There's action at campus all the time. But Sunday morning, chirp, 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 chirp. Crickets. But 8 out of 10 people on campus claim to believe in Jesus. Where are they at? You know, I've often wondered. Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. I left out Renee Rondinoni. And she rode, Renee rode in the van with us out here. I'm so sorry, sis. I got my notes all written up together. Renee actually became a Christian in one of our far outlying areas in Syracuse. Came out really supposed to just be for the first 6 months and then go back. But when she finished school out there, she came on back to be with us. And we are so grateful for you, Renee. Absolutely. Thank you. And I was going to say, who else did I miss there? No, I mentioned you. You were gone. That's on you. I said a lot of incredible things. You have to watch the video. Go back on the movie. 8 out of 10 college kids, I believe in Jesus, but were they at Sunday morning? They're sleeping! I have often wondered if when Jesus chooses to come back, if it might be Sunday morning. Just come right to the campus. Surprise! I'm back! You know. Faith is not just a religious feeling, but it is true Christians, common convictions about Jesus and the life He lived and the life we're called to. The world must learn that we love the Father and that we do exactly what He commands. God bless you.